morning. We're here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you stand and sing with us?
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made his heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am.
I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will declare his mercies to all the generations. And we just sang it. Here we are to worship. Here we are to praise him, to remember what he has done for us. Can we not say, hallelujah, thank you, God? It's good to see of this crowd this morning. Not many, but it's good quality. And I'm really glad to see Dennis back. Dennis, it's good to see you, brother. And if anybody needs any jackhammer work done, forget about calling Dennis. All right. Again, glad to see everybody. Next Sunday, we're going to be having giving testimonies before the body. And that's always an interesting thing to do. And Paul sent a little list of things here to think about as you're giving your testimony. What has God done for you in your life? What's he doing now in your life? What's he teaching you? How has he been showing himself powerful? and present in your life. And thinking about giving your testimony, that's a wonderful tool that we have to witness to people around us, to share who we are and what we used to be. And as you share your testimony in that context, keep it kind of simple. Don't start off with a bunch of religiosity language. I was slain in the spirit, and the person you're witnessing to is gone. So use language that people can understand. Tell what you used to be, how you happened to come to be where you are now, what God's doing with you. It's a wonderful thing. So again, welcome this morning. Greet somebody close by as we continue to worship our good and lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, Christy. We've got a special service planned for our time together today. If you remember, the first Sunday of this year, we read through the book of Ephesians together, had different readers and different elements, and we're going to do the same type of service today, but using the book of James. Why James? Well, at the start of our preaching series this year, we began a process of preaching through the book of Acts. And where we are currently in the timeline of Acts is just about the time that James would have been written. And we hope to come back a few other times this year to read New Testament letters that would have been written maybe by different authors about the time that the preaching calendar lines up with when the letters themselves would have been written. So there's not going to be a preacher today. We're going to have the Word of God read, all of James, and that will be the Word. And then we're going to have times of prayer and song and a testimony. And so I hope that you will delight in the goodness of God as we read through His Word together. When it's your turn to read, just please come up to this platform mic, and we will sit before the Lord and hear His Word. So without any further comments from me, Sam, would you get us started?
This is James chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man will also fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world.
Father in heaven, we desire that today we would not just be hearers of this word, but doers of it. So we invite you now to do your work in our lives. Transform us more today than when we entered this building. We want to be acceptable in your sight in every way, and we thank you that through the blood of Jesus you have accepted us. We love you, and we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand, and let's sing to the Father of Lights. We'll begin with the hymn, Immortal, Invisible. One.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent, nor wasting, thou art.
My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You sit here in a good place," while you say to the poor man, "You stand over there," or "Sit down at my feet," have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you've dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones who oppose you and the ones who drag you into courts? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do murder, you've become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works." Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by his works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God." You see that a person is not justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead.
We've just heard reference to two lives that God changed, and their faith led to lives of obedience. I'd like to invite now Christina Fleming to come share her faith story. Christina?
As a church, we have been studying the book of Acts in the Bible. We've already met Saul, who became the Apostle Paul after radical transformation from a man whose heart was filled with murderous hate towards all Christians to a man who was bowing before the Lord Jesus for the rest of his life. I'm here to tell you that's not my story. But the Apostle Paul and I relate in one way. We both have a heritage that can fill us with pride in both the good and bad senses. On both sides of my family, you can trace my spiritual heritage back 5 and 6 generations. Some of those people are hymn writers and circuit preachers and missionaries and church planters, all of whom did great things for the Lord. And then I was born. I was born, however, a sinner. My heart rebelled against God. Despite the redemption my parents and grandparents and siblings experienced, I was born in sin, which is seen in my selfishness, my pride, my anger, my desire to live for myself rather than God. For 5 full years, I fully and 100% lived in this sin. Oh, but God saw fit to grab hold of my heart when I was young and able to listen. He was rich in mercy. To save me before my heart would be filled with a murderous hate or before I could go into substance abuse. No, he convicted me of my sin, even the sin of a 5-year-old. He showed me that I am a sinner in need of my salvation. He is transforming my heart's desires, even today, from selfishness to help others and to lead them to know Christ as well. From pride to serving, and most importantly, from living for myself to knowing him. I don't pretend to live this perfectly. Daily there is a battle that wages in my heart for the world, to live for the world and not for myself. But the more I learn about God, the more I want to know God. And that's been true my entire life. Even when I was young and saved, I didn't want to know him as much as I want to know him now. To know the God who created the universe and spoke it into existence, who knows the very number of hairs in this room, who loves every one of us individually with an everlasting love, who not only knows our names and the state of our hearts, but even knowing all that, he provided the salvation we need. The salvation I needed so that I might know him and the relationship we are meant to have with him. It was Jesus, the Son of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. By suffering and dying on the cross, through, though he had no sin to suffer the consequences, it was Jesus who rose again, proving triumphant over sin and death and hell. To be clear, not everything in my life is good or easy now. I still get sick. I struggle with sin. Loved ones die, and relationships are broken. Despite all this, I choose to love God and not my selfish desires, because those are really the two options. When tragedies happen, well, I can know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Because it is in those two things I will become more like him. And that's the goal of all of this. Not that Christina or her family, who did lead me to Christ, would be seen, but that Christ would be seen, that Christ would be worshiped, that Christ would be praised. And only boasting that would happen would be in the cross. Because with the Apostle Paul, I counted all as dung for the surpassing value of knowing Christ. At the age of 5, I received the gift of salvation with the guidance of my parents. At the age of 29, I pray that all orphans and widows and friends and family and strangers that come across my path would see less of Christina and more of Christ, that they too might boast in the cross.
While your story, if you're a Christian, may differ in the details, at the core of the story we all share, I was lost, oh, but God. If that's not your story today, it can be. We're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it also says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if you're a sinner who hasn't received the gift of eternal life, will you today? He died for you, and if you put your trust in him, he'll give you the gift of eternal life, just like he gave to Christina, just like he's given to me. As we sing this next song, if it is your story, I hope you'll rejoice along with the words. And if it's not, make it your story. Accept Christ today.
I was buried beneath my rebellion, lost without hope of redemption, blind to my need for a Savior, oh, but God. Crushed by the weight of my failure, living the lie I created, digging my grave without knowing, oh, but God. Oh, but God, rich in mercy, how you loved me too much to let me stay lost. My salvation sent from heaven, nailing my sin to a cross. Oh, but God, you gave me truth worth believing. I traded my chains for your freedom. You were the one that I needed, oh, but God. Resurrected my heart from the ruins, and my rescue came through like the morning. Now this is my sure testimony, oh, but God. Rich in mercy, how you loved me too much to let me stay lost. My salvation sent from heaven, nailing my sin to a cross. Oh, but God.
What? Okay.
riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood neath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more.
Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. When I hear the warning in the first part of that chapter about the stricter judgment for teachers, my thoughts go to confessing my own inadequacies. I'm going to read for us now a prayer, a Puritan prayer, from the Valley of Vision. It's called A Minister's Confession. As I read it and pray it, I invite you to pray along in your heart as one who has been called in the ministry. You remember the apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers, they're all to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So this is your prayer as well, if you're one of his. O God, I know that I often do thy work without thy power, and sin by my dead, heartless, blind service, my lack of inward light, love, delight, my mind, heart, tongue, moving without thy help. I see sin in my heart in seeking the approbation of others. This is my vileness, to make men's opinion my rule, whereas I should see what good I have done and give thee glory. Consider what sin I have committed and mourn for that. It is my deceit to preach and pray and to stir up other spiritual affections in order to beget commendations, whereas my rule should be daily to consider myself more vile than any man in my own eyes. But thou dost show thy power by my frailty, so that the more feeble I am, the more fit to be used, for thou dost pitch a tent of grace in my weakness. Help me to rejoice in my infirmities and give thee praise, to acknowledge my deficiencies before others and not be discouraged by them, that they may see thy glory more clearly. Teach me that I must act by a power supernatural, whereby I can attempt things above my strength and bear evils beyond my strength, acting for Christ in all, and have his superior power to help me. Let me learn of Paul, whose presence was mean, his weakness great, his utterance contemptible, yet thou didst account him faithful and blessed. Lord, let me lean on thee as he did, and find my ministry thine. Amen. If you picked up a bulletin on your way in, there's another Puritan prayer, the Gospel, and we're going to pray through this responsively. If you want to read from your bulletin, you'll respond with the bold print, and we'll also have it up on the screen. If you didn't pick one up, you'll respond with the yellow text. Let's pray. O thou most high, creator of the ends of the earth, governor of the universe, judge of all men, head of the church, we bless thee for the words of salvation.
How important, suitable, encouraging are the doctrines, promises, and invitations of the gospel of peace.
We are lost, but in it thou hast presented to us a full, free, and eternal salvation. Weak, but here we learn that help is found in one that is mighty. Poor, but in him we discover unsearchable riches. Blind, but we find he has treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
We thank thee for thy unspeakable gift. Thy Son is our only refuge, foundation, hope, confidence.
We depend upon his death, rest in his righteousness, desire to bear his image.
May his glory fill our minds, his love flame in our affections, his cross inflame us.
Let us, as Christians, fill our various stations in life, escape the snares to which they expose us, discharge the duties that arise from our circumstances, enjoy with moderation their advantages, improve with diligence their usefulness.
And make every place and company you're in, you benefit by us.
Amen.
James chapter 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge one another? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin.
I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward at this time. As we sing this next song, we're going to take up an offering. If you are visiting with us today, we're not asking for you to give. If you want to, that's your freedom. But this is an offering for those who are members or call this their home to give freely to the Lord.
Close and teach me to abide.
give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Jesus, give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow up after you. Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Jesus, give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow up after you. Disciple in the truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, I will run after you. Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Jesus, give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow up after you. To know and follow hard after you. To grow as your disciple in the truth. This world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, I will run after you. Lead me on, and I will run after you.
James chapter 5. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the earthly early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruits. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The book of James. So we've just now read in this book of James this admonition, this encouragement to pray. And we're going to take a minute now, as we have been through the service, to participate in prayer. We heard the word, let's go ahead and do the word and respond in prayer. James tells us through the Holy Spirit's power that prayer is powerful. There's prayer for healing, prayer for the sick. A lot of us are probably sick in different ways. Some of us have really serious physical challenges we're facing. Others of us, it's just maybe our hearts are kind of sick about something that's happening to us or someone we love. There's broken, wounded emotions. There's broken and wounded bodies. There's broken and wounded spirits. You don't have to look very far to see that there is a lot of need for prayer in our world. And so we're going to do that now. In small groups, we're going to pray out loud together. Might take a little squiggling around. Elijah prayed for no rain. Please, nobody pray for no rain for 3.5 years. But there may be things on your heart that are really important to you right now that you're thinking about that nobody sitting near you knows about. There's probably things in each of our hearts that we're carrying that are so heavy that we can't really even say them out loud. Hopes that we have, dreams that we have. Maybe it's not even for us, it's for somebody that we love. So what we're gonna take is the next, just a few minutes, 5 or 6 minutes, I'm gonna give you a minute to just kind of congregate in small groups. Everybody doesn't have to say something out loud, but we're gonna pray out loud, kind of quietly together. Maybe you'll just have a second to say, could you just pray for this? But let's pray for each other. Let's confess our sins, if that's what comes to our hearts. But let's pray for healing for ourselves and for each other, whether that's physical, emotional, or spiritual. Maybe today is the day of healing for one of us in this room. So after we're done, I'm going to go ahead and pray out loud and close. I'll pray loud enough so that you know that's the ending of it. Find a way to gather with one or two other people now and take a minute just to maybe, if there's someone who has something in our heart, share it. But then just go ahead and start praying. Go ahead and pray out loud quietly in your small groups, and I'll bring it to a close in just a few minutes. So, Father in heaven, we lift our hearts to you in prayer because you are the sovereign one over all things. Because you are the God of the universe. You hold all things in your hand. You're the creator and sustainer of all things, Lord. And even though you are omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, you know our names and you hear our prayers and you've promised to answer. So we do, Lord, I confess my own self-reliance, trying to depend on myself. And I thank you today that as you came and showed mercy, you were rich in mercy to save Christina and to save many who are in this room, all of us who have found faith in you. I pray, Lord God, that you would continue to have mercy here through this church and in our city, that those who are lost and who need healing would find you. We ask to Father that as we head to this coming week, that we wouldn't stop crying out to you, spending time asking you to bring healing, asking you and bringing our request to you, Lord. Would you do that? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to stand. We have another song to sing together. Put not your hope in the nation.
Put not your hope in the nation. Put not your hope in a king. Trust in the only one who opens eyes and sets the prisoner free. He is the maker of heaven. He formed the earth and the sea. Our help will come from the Lord our God, our gracious King of peace. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Bless the Lord with our praises, and the Lord has a blessing for you today. May the God who gives generously grant you wisdom without reproach. May you receive in truth every good and perfect gift the Father of lights grants to you. May your religion be pure and undefiled before God the Father, visiting orphans and widows in their affliction, keeping yourselves unstained from the world. May the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, be honored as you hold the faith without prejudging. May you honor the one God before whom demons tremble by a faith that produces good works. May the blessed Lord and Father, in whose likeness we all are made, be honored by the use of your tongues. May God draw near to you as you resist the devil, submit to God, and draw near to him. May God exalt you as you humble yourselves before the Lord. May you live the fleeting mist of your life according to the Lord's will. May you honor the Lord of hosts with your wealth and wages. May you be patient until the coming of the Lord. May you hold your grumbling, knowing that the judge is standing at the door. May you suffer with patience, trusting the purpose of the compassionate and merciful Lord. And may you pray in faith that the Lord will raise us up. In the name of the Father of lights, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit who dwells in us. Amen.